flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
College football playoff at the Georgia World Congress Center on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this 20th day of January. It's a holiday. It's MLK holiday. It is also the morning of the national championship. So much going on in the city of Atlanta. And Sam and I are down here at the Playoff Fan Central at the World Congress Center. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Monday morning. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to all y'all up in Gainesville.
All right. Up on the other side of the lake.
Yeah, yeah.
All right now.
Time I hear that song, Ooh,
yeah.
Child.
Yeah.
Does it make you, I mean, the song in and of itself brings back memories.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of.
It's one of them Saturday morning songs.
No, it reminds me of the Bernie Mac show.
Really?
Okay. It's like when that, like, it was in the first or second episode. He was chasing behind the kids and this song came on.
Yeah.
And that's like, okay, Bernie's one thing that's going to keep me, but then the soundtrack was the other.
Yeah. That's one of them Saturday morning songs from back in the day.
Okay.
Making sure you get your clothes out the cleaners, making sure you straighten up the house, make sure your car washed.
You know. I got a question for you. Since you brought up Saturday morning and this kind of music, remind me again, when you were growing up down here in the South, when did you see Soul Train?
At noon on Saturdays.
Okay. Because it would come on at different times in Chicago, because that's when he was in Chicago.
Right, right.
And
but about by the time we got it, he was out in L.A.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, we got it, he was out in L.A. But still sponsored by sponsors from Chicago.
Right.
Like Johnson's, you know, the right, you know.
And if you
with
go-
that, with that commercial spot, tick, 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 boom. The blowout kit. It's a, man, right? Like you don't remember the blowout kit.
Man, stop, stop. When I tell you that I had a conversation in my house enlightening my wife about leaving the hot – leaving the combs on the stove.
Oh, yeah.
She ain't know nothing about that.
Yeah.
And then I was telling her about how my sister Debbie burned her hair trying to puff it out, this big afro, trying to look like Angela Davis.
That's a big...
And there's a smell that goes with that.
I know about that now.
You know?
Foreheads and earlobes.
You know, so don't tell me about blowout kits, man. I grew up in the town of John Johnson.
I'm saying that Noel is probably cringing right now. We probably mentioned those things.
Them hot combs on the stove are my early memories for me.
Yeah.
Mine too.
There you go, see?
Hold your ear.
Oh, hold your ear.
Yeah, we're just talking about that in my house not too long ago. Bob Rathman's going to be joining us in a little while here also. We should tell everybody coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, they just sort of rebranded themselves Channel 46 and from that channel, right?
Yep, yep.
Aaron Ladd is going to join us.
Aaron Ladd is going to join us and talk about all this around us, because people could see this area is starting to come to life. It's been pretty quiet. People can, because we're right in front of ESPN's when the College Game Day sign is now on. There was nothing on that video screen for the longest. It lets us know that we're getting closer and closer to folks going on the air, and we're right beside where they,
really?
Where they set up for their – for their telecast this morning, but
we
they're
might.
Not on yet.
No,
but they're
but
getting
the game day won't be on until tonight.
Right.
But the people who brought, so I have an old schoolmate that might be here.
She is in town.
We drank
yesterday
from the same water fountains.
They had Hannah Storm on yesterday from inside the stadium. She was reporting yesterday, so
ooh,
she is here in town.
I guess I bring a yearbook picture of her. A couple.
She might throw something at you.
She might. She might.
While it's freezing outside here, man, it is 90-plus degrees in Australia, where the Australian Open Tennis Championship and the men's number one seed had medical stuff going on. I mean, Jannik Sinner was on the court having to pour cups of water on. I mean, they had a delay in this match. He had a serve so hard, it disengaged the net. He hit the net, and the net became
disengaged. Hang on a second. You mean like off the springs and everything?
Yes, I mean it became detached, and so they had a 20-minute delay to fix the net, which he was thankful because it gave him a chance to get
cooled
off.
Yeah,
And so he ends up going on and winning in four sets today. The weather becoming a definite factor at the Australian Open Tennis Championships, where we still have some Americans that are on the move. We still have from our hometown, our home folks, was a winner today. Ben Shelton taking on Gael Monfils. And we thought that would be a matchup of two very athletic players. Monfils retired in the fourth set.
What's wrong with him?
What always?
Oh, so for those who don't follow tennis as much as you, you're saying this is a regular occurrence or more than
normal. In a major tournament. In a major tournament, he's been around for a week. All of his sponsors are happy. He's been on TV. You know what I mean? And he's made what he needs to make, to me. But, I mean, he retired in the match in the fourth set. So Atlanta native Ben Shelton moves on in the tournament, which is great to see. Young man, of course, his father, Brian Shelton, played on the tour and was the women's coach at Georgia Tech. He was born here in Atlanta when his dad was coaching there, and he's not a 21 seed, and he's moving on in the tournament. Lerna Tien is out. Also, Alex Mickelson is out. We talked with Karen Pistain. She talked about those young Americans who had done so well. They're both out of the tournament. They both were beaten. Tommy Paul still remains, so that's American that's there. On the women's side, man, American women are looking good. Emma Navarro is a winner. Madison Keys wins again.
There you go.
You always wonder when she will pull it all together and be focused. We talked for a good bit yesterday with Karen Pistana about Madison Keys. She's the 19th seed. She knocked off the number 6 seed, and she is still in. Eagles Wytek is still there. She's a number 2 seed. She's still in the tournament. She was a winner in straight sets. Coco Gauff plays this evening or later today or whichever day it is in Australia. She's going to play later on today as the Australian Open tennis tournament continues, the Australian Open. And we're keeping an eye on how our home folks are doing. We got some folks that are hanging in there.
So yesterday the story was how Djokovic didn't talk after the tournament.
Yeah.
After his match.
Right.
And he had a beef with one of the reporters who made
fun of him. I don't know if he forgot that his microphone was on or if he didn't care that his microphone
was on. I don't think he cared the way he was kind of revving up the crowd there. Well, he apologized.
Really?
Yeah, he did. He apologized to a broadcaster, apologized to Djokovic and the Serbian fans.
Okay, yeah, man. They're there in your home. You're in Australia. I'm sure that's not an inexpensive ticket to come from Serbia.
You got a call from the news director. What you talking about? You better not miss out on an interview with this dude. You better go and apologize to them folks. You know that when that call was made.
Yep.
Tony Jones is his name. Had to apologize to Novak and all the Serbian tennis fans.
Yep. Well, we're good. You know, now he'll get interviews with Djokovic.
That's going to be even worse because you know he's going to be snarky during the interview. And he's going to get the last word in because that's how Djokovic is. He'll say something, he'll do the interview, and then he'll say something like, so you have to keep your mouth shut about the – he's going to do something. He's going to do something snarky. He can't just take the high road. He never can.
You think so?
He absolutely will.
At this stage in his career.
Because he got all – that's exactly why he'll do it. He don't care nothing about no – look, if he gets one more major, he's done.
One major. Well, this is the one he may be focusing on. And to win this one, he's won this one quite a lot of times. He'd have a better chance there than probably but Clay, of course. I think his next match coming up is Alcaraz.
Well, that's the one you want to hope him get beat in. I do, at least.
So?
Because Alcaraz is what's next.
Yeah.
Him and Sinner are what's next. That's the matchup you want to see for the next decade are those two dudes, right?
Right.
All right. And then we get somebody on the women's side. But the best part about this is who we talked about yesterday on the women's side. You got to have somebody with the black hat. Now, I know she's supposed to retire it this year, but give us one more year. Give us. Was it Collins? Was it
Danielle Collins?
Danielle Collins.
Yeah, Danielle Collins.
She just let the crowd know she just don't care.
Right.
And thanked them for paying for her vacation and the money that she's making, and it was full blown McEnroe like. And
she didn't care.
She didn't care, and that's what brings people to the sport. It brings them to – it puts eyeballs wherever it's being broadcast, however the packages are for tennis.
Well, if she's winning now, she's got to be winning and doing well.
That's right.
She does. She goes – she had a great season last year. And so, if she's playing in big tournaments, she's making it to the quarterfinals, the semifinal round. She's going to play a few matches. Fans going to just get a chance to get into it. But I don't know if she will be that in Paris. You know what I mean? I think it's really Australia that probably is bringing that out in her.
I ask you this and other tennis fans, and we shall ask Karen this too. Who's next? Who is that next person who doesn't mind being The villain. Novak.
I'm not sure. We thought the Kyrgios was going to be that, but I don't think he's going to be able to play at that level anymore. It seemed like he's had a number of injuries, yeah. and that's unfortunate because he's the guy who was perfect for that and seemed like he didn't mind taking on that role. Just an incredibly gifted athlete, too. And it just seems like I won't say he's squandered that athletic ability, but the time when he had that window when he really could have ascended and could have been that person.
Right.
You know, and now he's doing TV.
I absolutely believe the sport needs that, and it needs it in the worst way right now. Because not only do you have that yin and the yang, which brings people on the periphery to any sport, but this sport is dealing with, we all know, that other sport where you don't run around. You use a paddle and you hit the ball, but you don't move around a lot. Yeah, we're talking about pickleball.
But that ain't on TV, though.
It is on TV. Not as much as tennis, but it's
like
on
this.
TV. Yeah, it is growing, and it's taking people away.
But not
away.
Like that, though. It's not. I was just in a room full of folk this weekend who would take you to task with that.
I'm just broadcasting the truth. They don't want to hear it. I'm sorry, but it's ever present. And I agree with you, but it's there.
It's not taking over, though.
I didn't say it was taken over.
I'm
saying that they – but tennis could use that. They could use
X obviously,
factor.
But not just that, but just not so much a yin and a yang, but just a charismatic figure. And, you know, I think that's what you want. You want to see some charisma. You want to see someone exciting, someone – I don't say you don't want another Pete Sampras. As great as Pete Sampras was, his personality was like watching paint dry.
That's right.
You know what I mean? But incredible talent, man. Love to see the dude play. But he wasn't like an Andre Agassi,
right,
who would go in and would play to the crowd and whatnot, and people would get excited about watching. So I think that's what we were talking about. Not so much a negative character, but just somebody that you get through. And it would have people who would like it and the people who wouldn't like it, you know. So that's what you got to wish for.
Whether it's Nadal, who was a little bit more – he was more fun to watch, I won't put it that way, than Federer all those years, and you talk about Pete Sampras. But – what we're saying now about Patrick Mahomes is the reason why you don't want just somebody who's a great player who's kind of charismatic. They have to have somebody to go up against, I believe, to bring in, like I said, the eyeballs who go, I kind of watch this. Oh, I heard of him, so-and-so, because that person is going to be doing commercials. They're going to be seen in other platforms. And that, I believe, is going to be the team, the two people who, when they play, will bring folks to
I think we
team.
Could have a little something with our homeboy. I think Ben Shelton could be one of those. The fact that he's built differently from most tennis players.
The giraffe.
He comes from – I'm not talking about
Shelton. Eubanks.
Think about Eubanks. No, Shelton comes from a different thing. I mean, obviously his dad played tennis.
Yes.
But here's a guy who's tall, got muscles, could have been a basketball player. Played football growing up, but here he is playing tennis. He brings a different sensibility and a different mentality to the sport, and I think people are going to enjoy seeing this guy ascend.
All right, coming up next, you ready to talk some NBA?
Absolutely, man.
Bob Rathman, and hopefully he's got his call up there in New York.
Absolutely.
He's going to join us next. It is Sam and Greg here at the Playoff Fan Central World Congress Center, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you in the Odyssey app.
Zone. It's a crimson avalanche here in Pasadena.
Getting you ready for tonight's championship game.
It's Sam and Greg, live from the College Football Playoff Fan Central at the Georgia World Congress Center on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know the best part about hearing this song right now on this MAK holiday morning?
What is that?
And getting ready to do this segment is picturing Bob Rathman up there in his hotel room in New York bopping his head back and forth to Marvin. So I hope he's having himself a wonderful morning so far. I want to thank him for getting up and joining us. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app as we are here. The Playoff Fan Central for tonight's national championship game. I would love to ask Bob, before we get into the Hawks and all that, how many of these events, these standalone, like national championship or NBA finals or whatever it is, do you remember your first big location broadcast or remote from during your career? Were you out at a place like this? That was a question for Bob. Do we have Bob?
I would say.
Oh, there he is. Good morning.
Yeah, I would say, guys, probably the went to work for CBS doing the NCAA tournament. That hit you know, really nicely.
Okay.
There are some events that I went to as a fan that were big. I remember going to the All-Star game in Atlanta back in 1972. That was
that's kind of Reggie Jackson kind of All-Star game.
Yeah, that was Nate Colbert, I think, scored the winning run and extra innings. But anyway, there have been several, and it really does stand out. You remember that the rest of your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Always great to spend some time with Bob Rathbun.
Yeah.
Joining us now from New York on the road with this Hawks team. Bob, first of all, before we talk about today's game, which we expect high drama, what's happened with us the last two games with this Hawks team? Going back to beating Chicago with kind of like a junior varsity team. We call those guys up from College Park and we go to Chicago and get a win. Were you expecting that?
Yes, Sam. I would like to say yes. I absolutely saw that coming. No. Well, Keegan Wallace, you can't be surprised because we saw what he did in the Boston game up in Boston to win the Cup when he filled in for Trey and had a marvelous game. So we sort of knew what Keaton could do. Daquan Plowden, I had absolutely no idea. I didn't even know if he would get in the game. And Quinn called his number early. He got hot, and I could not have been happier for that young man. He's such a good guy. He's one of those G League guys who's knocked around, 3 years in the G League, trying to get a chance, different organization, and he comes up and absolutely Chicago up. It was great.
You brought up the Cup, and we were talking about this yesterday on the show. It seems like post-Cup, this Hawks team, whether it's the guys getting healthy or what we thought we saw in the first part of the season, has come together in a way that has been surprising. We see bounce. We see speed. We see a Hawks team that the potential we thought was there is now happening. How do you describe this team, like I said, after the Cup?
Greg, I think you nailed it. I mean, it's the health. I mean, when we can get our top 8-9 guys out there on a regular basis, we're pretty good. And I thought that's what really set us back in November when we had 5 of those 9 basically out of the lineup. And we're not, I don't think any of the team is really good enough, deep enough to withstand those kinds of personnel losses. But now that we've got everybody back, we've got a nice rotation. You've got shooting, you've got defense. You've got leadership. You've got all the things you need to really make a nice run. And, now we just need to get Richichet back, and we'll be totally healthy and sustain it for a while. I think we're in pretty good shape because look at this schedule for guys. We've had one home game in 24 days.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I mean, that's ridiculous. And it won't change until we get back on Wednesday night for the Detroit game. So it's really been a crazy stretch, and the team has responded. They're winning road games. They're beating good teams on the road. So I think the second half of the season looks incredibly bright for the Hawks.
Yeah, that's why we forgot about the Houston game that was postponed because of the snow.
Yep. We're going to come back and bring that one back, folks. Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline this morning. Always great to spend some time with Bob Rathbun. And he is social. You can always find him at Bob_Rathbun. Okay, talk about what we saw Saturday in Boston. To go there and get the win the way they did and outlast this Boston Celtics team. What's allowing us to play so well against that team, Bob?
Matchups, as it usually is in the NBA, and I think it's the same way today with the Knicks, same thing with Cleveland. There are just teams you match up well against, and we match up well against Boston. It's crazy how, and you really see it in a game like the Celtics, Trae Young and what he can do at his size is really quite astounding. When you come at him with Tatum and Brown, big dudes, they tried to get him in every pick and roll down the stretch, and Quinn had answers on rotations to make it not a problem. And watch Trey operate. They really struggle with the Hawks. With Trey, they struggle with the sort of the length and athleticism. Dyson Daniels is a difference maker defensively. Boston has a hard time. Tatum gets frustrated, gets technical fouls, and, you know, he gets all off his game. So it's matchups, and I think if we were to see them in the playoffs, it would be one heck of a series because, as Trey was saying, and Garrison Matthews and Bogey were saying in the locker room after the game on Saturday, they don't want to see us in the playoffs. I mean, you could just tell when a team is like, we don't really handle these guys. Now, all that said, Porzingis and Horford did not play Saturday, and that makes a big difference. But overall, I think the matchup favors Atlanta in a lot of different cases.
And Sam just asked you about Boston. We can talk about the team at the top of the Eastern Conference and how the Hawks have handled Cleveland. And we're talking about this is a team that only one of two teams with single-digit losses this year. How do you explain this Cleveland team this year, the times you've seen them?
Well, I think they're very solid. I think Kenny Atkinson has done a great job picking up where J.B. Bickerstaff left off with the growth of this team. I mean, this is a good team last year and won a first-round playoff series. But he has emphasized playing through Mobley, which they really didn't do before. And then you add on top of that Donovan Mitchell and Garland, et cetera. These guys are really a solid unit offensively. They can really put points on the board. Good three-point shooting team. But again, it's a team I think the Hawks match up well with in terms of their length, and nobody really has an answer for Trey. And I think that would be a great playoff matchup too. But kudos to Kenny and kudos to the Cavaliers. They put the pieces together. But I think really taking the ball out of the guards' hands every time down the floor and playing through Mobley has made them an elite offensive team.
Spending time on the WaitForIt.com outline, voice of our Atlanta Hawks. And later on today, they'll be playing in New York City against the Knicks. Bob, thoughts about this matchup? We know what we saw last time at the end of the game. Trey's there at midcourt. He enjoys.
Rolling the dice.
It's rolling the dice. What are you looking for today?
I think more of the same. The one thing for the Knicks, Karl-Anthony Towns should be back today. He's missed the last couple of games with an injured thumb, and he gives us problems. I mean, he always has from Minnesota. He averages 24-13 in his career against the Hawks. So we've always had trouble handling him because he's 20 feet from the basket. It's tough for Clinton and Yeka to go out there and get him. But that said, and we talked about it just a minute ago, guys, Dyson Daniels is a different maker. Mm-hmm. And he wakes up this morning and he knows he's guarding Jalen Brunson. And Jalen Brunson woke up this morning knowing this guy ain't going away. He is relentless. The pressure he puts on Brunson is second to none. In my opinion, I think it takes the Knicks out of what they love to do offensively because Brunson, now he's going to get points and get assists and make plays. But it's the relentless pressure that Dyson Daniels puts on Jalen that really tips the balance in the Hawks' favor. We've beaten these guys twice, and I think the reason is the Dyson Daniels defense on Jalen Brunson. He takes him out of his comfort spots. He gets physical. Brunson gets frustrated, and it really slows the Knicks down.
Yeah. Well, Bob, before we let you go, I want to ask him.
Oh, okay.
How much fun are you having with this team? We always hear your enthusiasm and your excitement for Hawks basketball. How much fun are you having with this team and going to different places on the road and hearing the reaction of those fans when this Hawks team comes out and really steals the thunder from the home team on the road?
Well, there wasn't much of a reaction in Boston. They just shut up and headed for the exit.
Go ahead, Bob.
There wasn't much reaction. No, it's great. Mainly, guys, and you've been around a million teams, you know. When you got a good group and a great coaching staff, it's fun. We're going to get there. Again, I think if we just stay healthy, we got a chance to really win a lot of games and have a lot of fun this year. But they're wonderful people. They're great kids. I love being around them. They keep you young. Quinn is second to none. We're so lucky to have him as our head coach. It's really a nice mix. It's just a great group of people to be around every day, travel with, hang out with. They're fun.
You know, what I really wanted to ask him, because he's on the road with these guys, and we've talked about this a couple years ago when Trey first popped. It's a little dip, but now we're back there, I believe. What is – how do I just – how many Hawks jerseys are you seeing on the road like you used to in the past when Trey first got into the league? Are you seeing that now more of abundance when you get to some of these arenas?
And since he got popular, we've seen quite a few. But we consistently now see a lot of Hawks jerseys. And I'll tell you another factor in the team's popularity on the road are international players. They know about Dyson Daniels, and the Australian fans will show up. They know about Ricochet and Capella and all these guys that have come from around the world to play for the Hawks. And you see them represented, particularly in the big cities like New York today and L.A., et cetera. But this team has a pretty efficient, I would say, fan base in terms of they've got the Trae Young fans because he's like them. These kids love him because he's their size, and they relate to him. But we also have the international component of it. I can't tell you how many fans reach out to me on social media from Australia.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Okay.
And, you know, it's summertime. The clock is upside down, and they're getting ready to watch Hawks basketball on a 90-degree day in Melbourne because of Dyson Daniels. It's amazing the worldwide reach, not only for the Hawks, but also of the NBA, that we have so many fans that show up and support the team on the road.
See, there's the difference between the NBA and the NFL. NFL tries to put teams outside of the boundaries to get eyeballs on that sport. NBA doesn't need to do that. And it seems like, as Bob is describing here, folks from around the planet. We ain't got no teams in Australia. You ain't got no teams in Europe. But yet those players are still connecting with them around the world.
Still got that influence.
Yeah, well, and it's not even close. The only thing that even comes close to basketball's reach around the world is soccer. And I think the NBA is catching up rather rapidly. I mean, the worldwide reach of this league is incredible. And it's something really that the other North American sports do not have. And, you know, I kind of chuckle when these pundits come down. They say, oh, the NBA ratings and blah, 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 blah. No, guys, come on. The people that are engaged with NBA basketball on a worldwide basis is second only to soccer. I mean, these other sports, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, would kill to have the kind of reach worldwide that the NBA has. There's nothing wrong with this game. People love it, and it's only getting better.
Bob, enjoy your time up in New York. Get the Hawks a win for us, and as always, we thank you for getting up.
How cold is it? How cold is it back home? Because don't play in Atlanta anymore, so we just kind of look at the weather forecast from afar.
When
it's
we hit
here, it's not much warmer in Atlanta, right?
No, we headed to the World Congress Center about 4 this morning. It was 21.
Yeah, we're here at the World Congress Center. It's freezing.
So
in this place,
yeah,
man.
It's that. And thank you, Canada.
Oh man,
thank you.
Snow coming.
They say tomorrow, possibly.
Yeah, probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'd much rather have this game here because I always get upset. You know, we invented the King Holiday NBA game, but we planned it in New York today. But since we're up there, let's get the win, and you guys have safe travels back home.
Yeah, I will, guys. And Spall, because of that football game tonight.
That's right. National championship. So, there you go.
That's what's happening.
Enjoy the football and enjoy the Hawks this afternoon.
Thank you, Bob. All right, Bob Rathman joining us here. All right, we got to get on out of here. We're getting screamed at. It is Sam and Greg. We're going to come back and tell you about some money flying through the air, believe it or not, at the national championship at the Playoff Fan Central here at the World Congress Center. It is Sam and Greg. Take us with you in the Odyssey app, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All the way to the end zone. It's a Crimson Avalanche here in Pasadena.
Getting you ready for tonight's championship game.
It's Sam and Greg, live from the College Football Playoff Fan Central at the Georgia World Congress Center on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Monday morning, holiday Monday morning. It's the 20th day of January, which means it is ML King Holiday. Lots of things going on around the city. But as we started the show talking, Sam brought up some events have been postponed because of the weather.
Yeah, but I know the King Parade, a march that usually takes place in Gwinnett County, not taking place today. just because of the severity of the cold outside. So if you know something in your community or in your municipality that is planned, double check to make sure that those things haven't been moved inside because of the cold weather that we have.
So, again, lots of events here. We're here at the World Congress Center at the Playoff Fan Central, getting ready for tonight's national championship game between Notre Dame and Ohio State. We didn't ask Bob who he chose, who he'd likes to see win.
No, we didn't.
Let that get away from that. Anyway, guess who's – we were talking about the Aussie Open earlier. You were talking about it, I should say. I was listening. You know whose birthday it is today? Francis Tiafoe.
Really?
He is 27 years old today.
27 years old. Big foe.
So they, right. That's right. Big foe. Yeah. It is his, and he shares a birthday with the guy who got the last championship for the Chicago White Sox. Yes. That would be Ozzie Guillen.
Okay. Yeah.
So he shares a birthday with him, Bill Mayer, and your buddy Dave Cohen, Paul Stanley.
Oh, man. Anything
from KISS.
Anything KISS.
So
I'm looking at a piece of equipment. How much you think that thing costs?
I can tell you exactly what that is because that's exactly the camera I was telling you that they left on the ground when we all had to clear out during that shoot in Roswell about a couple months ago when the cops came in and there was a guy trying to rob the place while we were shooting at the Aurora Cinemax up there.
Okay.
And we were shooting that video or that pharmaceuticals company.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was an industrial. But anyway, we were all at the miniature golf course there shooting, and something happens where about seven Roswell cop cars converge on this emporium. And so then they come and tell us, you guys, you should get out of here for a minute because we've got a person in there committing a crime. Let's just put it that way. So we all just dropped everything we're doing and split. And we went about a block, the equivalent of about a block away. So as we're coming back, I'm walking with one of the producers, and it's one of those handheld cameras that you're talking about that does not move.
It's not just a handheld camera. This is like a steady thing.
Well, it's the apparatus that holds it.
Right, absolutely.
So he can walk, but it does not move.
Right.
But the actual camera was one of the ones they were using because they had four on this particular shoot. And I said, we just left this stuff here. What happens if somebody came out and grab it? How much does that cost? He goes, that one? Ooh, about $197,000. $197,000.
You got to remind people while we're talking about this, our vantage point set up here in Fan Central is where a number of radio broadcasters are, but right in front of us is the setup for ESPN. They got some very expensive equipment, which you think they would. This is their party.
Right.
This is their party. Of course, the game will air on ESPN tonight, but we get a chance to see some of the equipment that they use. And
this is a lot of like movie set.
Pretty sophisticated stuff.
Yeah, man. They should have top-of-the-line stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned that we're down here. I'm going to do it anyway because I've known this guy since he was at Hope College. Used to call up because when I was down the dial at 96, I was the only person talking sports. And he was a student there before he became who he became in the city. But just walked past us, Chris Domino.
Yeah, man.
So I want to give Chris a shot. We should do it properly
you.
And go, hey, how you doing?
So always good to see him and talk a little baseball.
Yeah, man. Listen, let's do the casting call here. And this, of course, is where we, for those of you who don't listen to the show regularly, we let you know about money flying through the air, opportunities to get a job as an extra for some of the projects. But let me just give you a quick breakdown. As is the case every January, especially this year, it is slow. People coming off the holidays, projects are taking a minute to get up and running. And so usually there's nothing. But this weird transition that's going on from 2024 where there was a possible strike and not a lot of projects came, but then when they found out that things were settled and the projects tried to get in before the end of the year, got them done, it's just been kind of a quagmire. And then you couple that with the unfortunate situation going on in Los Angeles right now where there is going to be projects that need to finish what they're doing but yet can't do it out there, so they're going to be moving to Georgia. So as I tell you that Rose Lock Casting is doing a new project, DTF St. Louis, this is on HBO. Jason Bateman's one of the stars of that. There are four needs that I have up on this particular breakdown. And by the way, you can see it at 929thegame.com/castingcall, also on Get Cast with Greg on Twitter/X. So there's a need for a fit female. This is a featured role.
Okay.
Any ethnicity between 24 and 45 years old. This is a director selected role. So if you are in shape and you are a female and you'd like to be a part of this project, just send your pictures in. And if you don't get chosen, don't take it personally because it's this is the director who's obviously got a vision about what he's looking for.
Right.
Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. You didn't do anything wrong. That's just the nature of the beast. There's also a need for cops. There's also a need for little leaguers. There's also a need for people to be in a photo. I don't know, once again, what that picture will entail, or, you know, I don't even know how you dress for that. So just dress casually and send it in. Again, these are all director-selected roles. They know what they're looking for. So there's four right there from Roselot Casting. Underneath those, you will see casting tailor-made. Heather is doing a project called Rolling Loud, and they have a few concerts that they're going to need concert goers for coming up. So music festival, concert scenes, this is all for Rolling Loud. You got to have availability between January 31st and March 7th.
Okay.
And if that's you, 18 to 35 years old, any ethnicity, and you can make it down there to Fayetteville, they would like you to be a part of this project. Now, that's in front of the camera. What I have been talking about over the last few shows when I do the casting call is, for those of you out there that have a skill set that lends itself to being on a crew. As I just mentioned, what's going on in Los Angeles is going to affect Georgia. And I say this very reverently. It's going to benefit Georgia in a way that, you know, they didn't see coming. There's going to be a financial gain because there's going to be studios and locations that are going to be used that weren't being planned to be used. And so they're going to need crews now that aren't in place. I'm just telling you, if you may have got a pink slip at the end of the year, or you, like I said, don't like your boss, or you don't like your job, or whatever the reason, and you want to make a change, and it doesn't matter what the occupation is, I'm telling you, pretty much everything from lawyers to cooks, they have on a film crew, and everything in between, drivers. So I always talk about carpenters and electricians and makeup artists and things like that, but pretty much anything else you can think of, a movie crew needs you. So I walk you through that, starting at behind the camera, film and TV industry jobs. This is right after the in front of the camera jobs. And you will see me walk you through starting at Georgia.org, where you can find the help wanted. I also have the connection to the Georgia Department of Labor for minors who want to get into projects. You got to have that certificate. The voiceover connections are still there. Bill Seller and Atlanta Voiceover Studio. The list of the casting directors. While this time is going on, you want to go to their social media pages and see how they're keeping the doors open during this slow period. It could be a commercial being shot down in Macon. It could be an industrial being shot up in Chattanooga. You know, wherever it is, if you could make the ride and start building up a little revenue stream. Because, listen, all you got to do is show up once and be reliable.
Yeah.
Because they'll call you back. Because there's a lot of folks who ain't. You got a reliable car, and they, you know, there's people who say, "Well, I'm ready to go. I got Wednesday free." And then they call you and say, "Hey, we need you Wednesday." And they go, "Oh, I forgot. I got to take my kid to soccer." And they say, "Thank you." And that's the last time they're going to call you. Mm. So if you're reliable, you got a reliable car, here's a way for you to make not a lot of money, but some steady money.
And you don't know where it could lead.
And there's nothing better than going on set and being, you know, at a job where you look over and go, "Oh, there's The Rock. Oh, there's the, you know, this actress or that actress." And so it's a fun time for those of you who've done it. So anyway, and then after that, I walk you through how to submit yourself. If you've never done that before, I've got a generic version of everything you need to do. But you're basically grabbing your camera and you're taking three pictures of yourself in front of a blank wall, dress as best as you can to the role. So having said that, I think I've been given the out
signal. Two minutes.
Greg.Clarkson, Odyssey.com. If you got any questions about any of this stuff, and again, you can see the list up on Get Cast with Greg on X and 929thegame.com/casting call.
Very nice.
You know, I've been doing, like I said, I got an anniversary coming up with this thing.
Ah.
There are people who started doing it, and by the way, I've also found out, and people are telling me how this casting call of mine doesn't literally verbatim end up in other locations or people talking about it like on morning TV shows.
Yep.
But it's there. And you know what? I don't care.
You don't care?
I don't, because it's never been about me.
You good with it.
It's about y'all that want to do this stuff. That's why when I first started doing this, remember, there were a few people who was doing the casting call. Mm-hmm. I never cared who was doing it or who supposedly was ripping off what I was saying and blah, blah, blah. It was always about, I had the opportunity because of the platform we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about letting you guys know about these job opportunities. You can do it. You can't do it. It's the convenience store at the corner that's there for you. Everybody don't go there, but it's there when you need it. And so if you have an unfortunate situation, it takes away one of your revenue streams. I say this all the time. It's like the folks who live in Orlando. If they get fired from a job, chances are they know somebody who can get them a gig at Disney.
Yeah.
All right, just for a little bit at least. So that's what I'm here for, to keep the lights on. I couldn't think of nothing else. Coming up, 9 o'clock hour, Aaron Ladd. I want to thank you for connecting us with him. Aaron's going to come on, talk some college football as we get ready for the national championship tonight. But he also got a connection to Kansas City.
Yeah, he does.
So we're gonna tap into his knowledge and find out, let him know what folks are saying about his, you know, that Chiefs team and how he feels about it.
Ain't nobody gonna beat him.
But up next, we're gonna spend some time talking about MLK Day.
It's about to happen all over again.
It is Sam and Greg on this MLK holiday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you in the Odyssey app.